Welcome to the New Life Sermon of the Week. This podcast is part of the ministry of New Life Church in Frederick, Maryland. For more information on the ministries of our church, please visit our website at inewlife.church. We hope you enjoy today's message brought by our lead pastor, Abe Pfeiffer.
Welcome. I am Abe. I'm the lead pastor here at New Life. And was that just a great time in worship this morning? Wasn't that great? Can we thank our worship team? Thank you guys so much for leading us into God's presence. Man, it's we are a church that loves Jesus and loves to worship. And this morning, I'm excited to start this new series called What Matters Most. And I want to just if you take out your worship notes, sorry, your message notes, you'll notice that they are blank. I'm going to make you work this morning. There are no fill-in-the-blanks this time. I want to just share some things from my heart, and I hope that you'll be able to just kind of follow along and maybe jot some things down that that God would speak to you today. But, you know, I'm so thankful for what Stacy said during our communion time as well about being thankful, because I think around this time, around this season, of course, it's the thing to do, right? As we hit November and we're thinking about Thanksgiving and the holidays and all of that, and that's wonderful. And I'm glad that we do take time to do that. But there's something about the discipline of Thanksgiving that when you walk with God, it's central to that, and it's essential to what we're going to be talking about today. And you know, we are on a journey of faith, and here at New Life, we articulate that journey in kind of this fourfold outline that when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to growing in Christ, when it comes to becoming the people that He's made us to be, there's four parts to growth, and we articulate them by these four phrases: know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And hopefully you'll come to LifeTrack if you haven't already in a couple weeks, but we outline and go into depth with those more at LifeTrack. But know God has to do with salvation. It has to do first and foremost with, if you're going to become all that God has made you to be, you got to first of all know Him and have a relationship with Him. You've got to say yes to the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. But after that, you can't stop there. The next step you need to take has to do with finding freedom, and it has to do with recognizing we all have a past. We all have a past. We all have things that are broken in our lives, and things that we've experienced, and things that have been done to us. And so we've got to find freedom from those things in our past. And doing that, even in the community of faith, building relationship with others and growing deeper in God's Word, is essential to finding freedom. We've got to discover purpose and recognize that we're not here by accident, that God has a plan and purpose for our lives. And again, LifeTrack, as I mentioned, is a huge part of that. But then all that is moving towards the fourth one again, which is make a difference. That we are here to make a difference. And I want you to know this morning, this series, What Matters Most, is a make a difference series. That the focus over the next 4 weeks is going to be about making a difference. And it's about recognizing that we exist for the sake of others. First and foremost, as Christ followers, but secondly, as a church, this is what we're about. We're about living to that end. And John 15, Jesus describes it this way. In John 15, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And then in verse 11, he says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." And so Jesus says, you want to know what pleases God? It's that you would bear fruit. that you would bear fruit, that and making a difference has to do with the way that we bear fruit. And ultimately, he says, if you will bear fruit, your joy is going to be made complete. Now, Jesus saying, again, he's saying, if you want to find out what that joy is, though, again, you've got to abide in my love so that you can bear fruit and so that your joy can be made complete. But the problem is, for a lot of us, is that we find our joy in other things. We think that that vacation is going to bring us joy. If we just get on that vacation, then I'll have joy again. Or if my team finally wins some games, right, then I'll have joy again. And man, I mean, isn't it great the Nationals won, right? They got the World Series for those D.C. area sports fans. But now that the World Series is done, you got to go back to realizing that D.C. teams really stink right now. And so you're not going to have much joy. So try Oregon. Oregon Ducks. Try the Oregon Ducks. But again, we can look to these things to find joy, but ultimately, what's going to bring joy is that we would learn how to make a difference, that we would learn how to bear fruit that lasts. And this making a difference thing, psychologists call this transcendence. So having a higher purpose. And, you know, and psychologists, you know, they've done years and years of scientific study that is all summed up right here in this amazing book. And yet, it all points to this reality that when we are doing something that is making a difference in the lives of others, when we're doing something that matters, that makes a difference, that's what brings fulfillment in our lives. And we are a church here, again, who is all about making a difference. It's what we live for. It's what we exist to do. And I believe it's what will bring ultimate satisfaction in your life. That you'll never really, truly be fulfilled in this life. Even if you go to church sometimes, even if you call yourself a Christian, if you don't walk out those four steps that we talk about around here, I believe that something's always going to be lacking in your life. And so we've got to identify what the problem is. And you'll notice that the title of my message this morning is #blessed. Because, and it's a bit of a sarcastic title, I think, because I notice sometimes that, again, for a lot of people, we look at their lives, we look at their lives, and you get a picture of what they think is satisfying them and what's bringing them happiness, because they'll take a picture of themselves on social media in front of their new car or their new truck with a Lyft. I saw that this morning. I looked up the #blessed, and there was this guy that had a Lyft that was, like, taller than him on his truck. And the little thing said, #blessed, you know? Or this other person, this other guy, like, took a picture with his girlfriend, hot girlfriend, #blessed, you know. And, yeah, she's going to break up with you in 2 weeks, man, because you're not that good looking. But, again, my title, #blessed, is a bit sarcastic, but my point is this, that we look at all these things that we have, and we can put #blessed in front of it, or for whatever you want to call it. But do you know the goal of the gifts that God has given you? I mean, if you look at the things in your life and you have enough awareness to go, I'm blessed, then the very notion of being blessed means that you know that somehow you've been given something you don't deserve. So do you know the goal of the gift? As you look at your life, as you look at your marriage, or as you look at your business that you have, or the job that you have, or maybe you have a gift in the area of sports, or academics, or in the arts, do you know the goal of the gift? God has blessed you with something. He's given you things in this life. Do you know the goal of the gift? And I've talked a lot about Abraham lately. I believe that there is something in the message of Abraham's life that God is wanting to speak over our church. There's something about the truth of what Abraham lived and what he experienced that I believe that we've got to engage with a little bit. And so if you were here a few weeks ago, I read you a couple verses. I'm going to read you again from Genesis 12, where God comes to Abraham and he says these words. He says, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Did you notice that last line? All the people of the earth will be blessed through you. In other words, Abraham, yeah, you are hashtag blessed, but you're blessed to be a blessing. And the same is true for us. Just the other day, I was with one of our Rooted groups and was going through this section of scripture in 1 Timothy where Paul says these words to his protege, Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present age or this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And in this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure, right, as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. So Paul, he's talking about, recognize if you have been blessed, if you have riches in this present age, if you have been given much. He says, recognize God provides those things. And I want you to notice, if you have a Bible there, you look, well, you may not have it open here to 1 Timothy 6, but make sure you note the word enjoyment. He said, God provides, has provided you with things for your enjoyment. So God has blessed you, and it's not... There is this level of God wanting you to experience fulfillment in what he has blessed you with. And I think that's important to note that because there is a teaching even in some sections of the church that it's a gospel really that describes that you're not really spiritual unless you're poor. And I don't think that's a true translation of the scriptures. Because it's not about what you have or what you don't have. It's about your heart toward what you have. It's about your heart toward what you have. What is your heart toward that which is God has given you? And I found some studies a while ago that described how they went and they interviewed these people in these various income brackets. So they interviewed some who made about $30,000 a year, and they said, what would be enough? What would be just enough for you to really be happy? And they said, man, I make $30,000 a year right now, but if I made $60,000 a year, man, that would just really be amazing. That would be all that I would really ever dream of. And then they went and asked people who made $125,000 a year. Man, what would it be? What would it be enough for you to really be happy and be content in this life? And they said, man, if I could just make $250,000 a year, that would be everything. That would be great. And then Money Magazine actually did a study with millionaires, guys, people who actually have like $1 million in liquid assets. And they said, what would be enough for you to really feel content and happy? And they said, man, if I had $5 million, that would be enough. Which, by the way, I don't actually get Money Magazine because you actually have to have money to read Money Magazine. But they're interviewing these guys, and basically the message of that what you recognize as you look through these studies is that enough is never quite enough. But the reality is, if you make over $40,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of wealth in this world. You're amongst the top 1% wealthiest in the world. If you make combined income of $40,000 a year or more. So, in Andy Stanley, in his book, How to Be Rich, he calls it having rich people problems. That we can get in this mindset where enough is never enough, and we get hung up on these rich people problems. Like, if you're on an airplane and you're complaining about how the Wi-Fi is too slow, you have rich people problems. Maybe some of you this morning had another rich people problem. You walked into a room that you have for your clothes to live in. Right? You walked into a room that you have set apart just for your clothes to live in. And then what did you do when you walked into that room? You said,
I have nothing to wear.
Rich people problems. And my goal this morning as I talk about this is not to pour on the guilt for you, but really to stir up your faith as you recognize the gift and the gifts that God has given you. Even more, I hope that you'll become less reticent when it comes to the blessing of God in your life and you'll become more responsible. My goal is to help you become responsible when you consider what you've been blessed with. Because here's the reality, and the studies show this over and over and over again. The more that you make and the more that you have, the less you give. That's just a consistent statistic throughout our nation and really even internationally as well. But Jesus said this in Luke 12. He says, "For those whom much has been given, from him much will be required." And again, this is not just about money. This is about whatever God has given to you, whatever gift God has given to you. When you look at your life, and again, the things that you'd say, "Man, I am blessed." Well, that is wonderful. I'm glad that you know you are blessed. But what are you going to do with that gift that God has given to you? See, this morning, what I would hope that you would know is this, that the goal of the gift is giving. The goal of the gift is giving. Whatever God has given to you, the goal of that gift is to give of that gift. To recognize that God has given to you a gift that's meant to be poured out in one way or another. And here's the good news this morning. The good news I want you to hear is this, that God actually wants to give you more. You might go, "What? Seriously, where do you get that from, Pastor?" I get it from the Bible. In fact, this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:11. He says, "You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and then through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So what Paul is saying, the goal of the gift is giving, that God wants to bless you. He wants to give you more. He wants to enrich you in every way, but it's so that you can give more, so that people can see how good God is as you give of whatever he's given you. The goal of the gift is giving. There's a pastor from Texas named Jimmy Evans. And I stumbled upon an article a while ago that he had written talking about this thing called the principle of, or the right of the firstborn. It's this the principle of the double portion is what he calls it. And it's found in the book of Deuteronomy. And if you have a Bible, you can turn over there to Deuteronomy 21 real quick. I want you to see this. In Deuteronomy 21, there's this simple verse in there that's called, again, the principle of the double portion, or the right of the firstborn. And so in there it says this. It says, "But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn." So he shall acknowledge the firstborn here by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. So in the Old Testament, and you can find it in many places, but the way it would work is the oldest child in a family would be given an inheritance, and in that inheritance, they would be given a double portion of the inheritance. So all the other kids would get some of the father's inheritance, but the oldest, the firstborn, would get a double portion. And if you're a firstborn in here, you're going, "Amen, amen." Why? Because the firstborn always thinks that they're the smartest. I'm a firstborn, so I can say that. We always think that we're the most responsible and we're the smartest, and you know, and so people, you might look at this and you might go, that it's, you might think that it's a principle based out of favoritism. But when you look at this, he in the Old Testament again, it calls it the right of the firstborn, and you might think, yeah, it's the right of the firstborn. But actually, That word right, when it's translated in the Old Testament, actually has to do with responsibility. It's not the right of the firstborn as much as just the responsibility of the firstborn. And so when you think about the fact that the firstborn was given this double portion, what it was all about was that when the father died, the reason the firstborn was given a double portion is so they could care for the family once the father was gone. So there was a responsibility that came with this double portion of inheritance, this double portion of blessing that he was given. So I want you to think about that as we look at our world, as we look at our lives. Think about America. God established this nation and has blessed this nation. It's about a responsibility that we've been given to be a blessing to others, right? We are a blessed nation, but we're called to be a blessing as a result. We have the responsibility that comes with it. As a church, we have been blessed as a church. Here at New Life, in fact, Pastor Fuss is back here, and they could tell you story after story over the last 40 years of God's blessing over this place, the way that God's favor has just gone before this church family and has richly provided us so many things in so many ways. Even in the last 3 years, we have seen God bless us in profound ways. And so it's why, even in the last couple of years, we have been vigilant to find ways to be a blessing. We've given tens of thousands of dollars away outside of this place to invest in planting churches both in this nation and in other nations, to build wells in Africa, to feed children in local elementary schools. We could go down the list and describe the many ways that we've given, but it's not so we can puff out our chest and so you say, check us out. It's because we know we have a responsibility. We've been blessed with much, and therefore we have a responsibility to bless much. It's a God-given responsibility that we have, that as he's blessed us, so we must be a blessing. In Hebrews 12, there's this interesting section of Scripture that talks about Esau. Esau was the twin brother of Jacob. And if you don't know the story in the Old Testament, you can go back and look at it in the book of Genesis. But Esau had the inheritance, the right of the firstborn that was coming to him. And one day he had been out hunting, and he was coming back, and Jacob made up a nice pot of stew and said, I'll give you this stew. I know you're hungry. You've been working hard out hunting and everything. Just give me your inheritance. Just give me your firstborn inheritance. And Esau finally said, okay, fine, take it. And I want you to read what it says in Hebrews chapter 12 about Esau. So it says in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 15, let's read there. It says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected, and it was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. It's interesting. It calls Esau godless. Why? Because he rejected his God-given responsibility. He rejected his responsibility, that what had been entrusted to him, he squandered it. He threw it away. He gave it away. And so you recognize, again, whatever you've been given, however God has blessed you, it is a God-given responsibility. God is looking to you saying, what are you going to do with what I've given to you? As a church family, we have this passion and this dream to see our community transformed with the love and power of Jesus. We have a passion to see more and more people come to know Christ. We have 250,000 people in Frederick County, and over 170,000 of them don't profess to go to church or have any kind of religious connection. And when you go beyond Frederick County, the numbers just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Within a 50-square-mile radius of this place, there are millions of people that we have a responsibility as the church to reach, to do anything we possibly can, to, as we recognize, God, you've blessed me. Lord, you've blessed me with the gift of salvation. You've healed and restored my life. You've healed and restored my marriage. You've set me free from the things of my past. That you've blessed me with good things, even gifts and abilities that I can use. That he would say, what are you going to do with that? How are we going to use that to be a blessing to the broken world around you? It's why at Christmas time, over in the month of December, we're going to be every Sunday talking about peace on earth. And you might think, oh yeah, that's just cute. That's just what we do at Christmas time. We just talk about. But I want you to know every message, every Sunday throughout Christmas, including our Christmas Eve services, I hope you come. I hope you'll be there. But I want you to know that every single weekend is not going to be for you. It's going to be for those that God has placed in your life that don't know his love yet. And we're going to be praying like never before. In fact, yesterday during our prayer time, we were praying for those who are far from God. We were praying for those even lost sons and lost daughters. And we believe that in this season, God is going to bring more into the family of God than ever before. We're going to see a move of salvation upon our community and upon our county, even our nation. And here's the thing. Sometimes you might hear that and you go, oh yeah, that's for other people to have the gift of evangelism. No. It's for every single one of us who have been given a gift. And the question is, how are you going to give out of the gift that God has given you? How are you going to be love to those that need love? How are you going to be wholeness to those who need wholeness? How are you going to be peace that need to know his peace? And so we're going to be over the Christmas season giving you tools and invite cards. We're going to be doing random acts of kindness and all sorts of fun things. And our goal is that God would bring his peace to those that desperately need to know his peace. And for us as a church, it's about saying, God, you've blessed us so much. You've blessed us as individuals, Lord. You've blessed us as families. You've blessed us as a church family. And we know this, that the goal of the gift is giving. And so we want to give, give, give. We want to give out of hearts of love and compassion. Because we know that we're firstborns. We've been given a double portion. We've been given a responsibility. We're a church that loves to celebrate, as you can hear out there. Isaiah 58. Last section of scripture. I know I'm throwing a lot at you this morning. Again, I just want to share some things that have just been stirring in me. Again, what matters most? What matters most is that we would make a difference for the kingdom of God. That we would make his love known. And I love this section of scripture in Isaiah 58, and I recently realized that this section is amazing because, see, they agree. This section of scripture is amazing because there are 12 promises that God gives in this section of scripture. He says, if you do this, I will do this. 12 promises. I don't know of any other place in scripture where 12 promises are grouped together like this and said that if you do this, if you obey me in this, I will do these things. So maybe some of you are better Bible scholars than me and you can find a place where there's more than 12 promises attached to something, but I think this is pretty cool. In Isaiah 58, this is what God says to his people. He says, is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter and when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? So these are the things that God is saying. If you will do these things, if you will do these things that he's just outlined, if you'll bring freedom to those who are enslaved and if you'll share your food with the hungry and provide clothing for the naked. Now we get to verse 8. And I'm going to go through these. I'm going to count these for you here. He said, if you'll do these things, then your light will break forth like the dawn. There's one. And your healing will quickly appear. There's two. And then your righteousness will go before you. That's three. And then the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. That's four. Then you will call and the Lord will answer you and you will cry for help and he will say, here am I. That's five. And if you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger, with malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then he says this, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. There's six. Then the Lord will guide you always. There's seven. And then he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. There's eight. And then he will strengthen your frame. There's nine. And you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. That's 10. And your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. 11 and 12. You will be called repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets with dwellings. That is good, somebody. That, God deserves a hand clap on that one. That is the promise of God. God is looking for people who will live like firstborns. God is looking for people who will recognize that, God, you have given me gifts, but those gifts are meant for giving. And I'm going to give however I can, however you call me. I'm going to give out of the inheritance you've given me. I'm going to use it well. So how are you using the gift that God has given you? I know I'm not supposed to have favorites. But as pastors, every once in a while, there's certain people that just impact you. And I want to talk about this couple named Henry and Edna Schmidt for a moment. Henry and Edna Schmidt were in our first church that we pastored in Colorado. We were just kids back then. We actually had, the two boys were under the age of five when we went to pastor that church, and now our oldest is 17 and Logan's 14. But we went, and as we arrived in Colorado, we knew nobody. And we met this couple named Henry and Edna Schmidt, Hank and Edna. And when I first met them, I mean, they were great, and you know, they were, you know, the church, it was just a little church, and Edna was this redheaded spitfire of a gal. They were an older couple, and I wasn't quite too sure at first about them. You know, she would just say whatever came to her mind, and I would say that she wasn't necessarily my favorite at first. As some of you are going, I wonder if I was in that category when you guys got here. Stacy will tell you. No. But I'll tell you what. Hank and Edna came to us one day shortly after we'd been there and said, we want to just do whatever we can to support you guys. They said, we're gonna be your intercessors. We're gonna pray for you as much as we possibly can. We're gonna pray for you guys. We're gonna embrace your kids. They became like surrogate grandparents to our kids. They would give us date nights on a regular basis. They would come and watch our kids and say, let us watch them. We're gonna let you guys go get a date night. And they would just bless our kids. Our kids would get spoiled there. And I'll tell you what, watching our kids who were yanked away from their family and yanked away from everything they knew and in this new place, and to see them feel right at home because this couple, Hank and Edna, just loved them. I'll tell you what, they became my favorites because they loved my favorites. See, people I love become the people I love because they love the people I love. And God's kind of the same way. When you read through this chapter in Isaiah, what he's saying is, when you care for the people I love, when you care for the lost and the broken, when your heart is inclined towards them, when you open your life in such a way that says, God, how can I be a vessel of your love to those that need to know your love? That's when he says, man, I'm going to shine down my favor on you in a special way because I see your heart. And I want to be clear here. This is not a formula about, hey, how can I get God to bless me more? You know, God is not a cosmic slot machine where you put the coin in and then but he sees our hearts. And when our hearts are inclined to the people that he loves, and when we allow our lives to be such that we'd say, God, give me your heart for people. And God, what you've given me, I want to give it away. Whatever gifts I have, Lord, they're yours. That he loves to just continue to come alongside us and pour out his favor more and more. And I want you to set your Bibles aside this morning, because as we close here, I want us to just sit in this for a moment. In fact, I sensed even this morning that, and in fact, I'll be honest with you, even this morning during communion, the Lord convicted me a little bit, because even this morning, I was getting ready and I was doing my prayer time, I got a little distracted by something. It was a goofy thing, but ultimately, I was not thankful. I was caught up not in what God had blessed me with and how I was thankful, but I realized, even as Stacy was talking during communion, you know what? I was not caught up in recognizing what the gifts were that God had given me. I was caught up in what I hadn't gotten. And I had to repent right here, right now, even just a few minutes ago. And I sensed this morning that maybe someone else might be there as well, that you might hear me talking today and you're going, oh, that's great, yeah, hashtag blessed. Well, I don't feel very blessed. I'll tell you what, I lost my job this week, or you don't know my financial situation, or man, I keep getting overlooked for this promotion, or I don't have any friends. I mean, you could go down the list, but I guess the beginning of being able to give out of the gifts that God has given us is saying, God, thank you so much, first and foremost, for what you have given me. And so I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to just take a moment here to reflect on your life. And worship team, you can make your way forward here. And I want you to just first and foremost acknowledge, what gift has God given you? It could be multiple, but I want you to focus in. What is the gift that God has given you that maybe even you would recognize today, I need to do more in terms of giving out of that gift? Maybe for some you'd say, God really has blessed my marriage, and I realize we have not really found ways to encourage others in marriage and what we've learned out of that. Or maybe another would say, God has been so faithful in my business, and I've been so busy trying to build it that I haven't recognized the ways that maybe I can encourage others in theirs. Maybe it is financial. Maybe you'd recognize I haven't been giving out of my finances, and I need to do that. Maybe for some it would be to recognize that maybe you're on a sports team right now as a student, and you'd recognize, man, God's blessed me with this athletic ability, but I've been caught up in the fact that maybe I haven't gotten this attention or this recognition, and maybe I just need to recognize God's put me on the team I'm on for a reason, and I need to be faithful there. I don't know what it would be for you this morning, but what has God blessed you with? What is the gift that he's given you? I want you to just sit with that for a moment. Maybe write it down on your notes. And then, again, as you think about that gift and recognizing the goal of that gift is giving, I want you to just acknowledge right now. You can, again, write it down. Maybe it's even just whispering it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to give of that gift. And I want you to maybe get a little bit specific right now. How will you start giving out of the gift that God has given you? And again, we're going to have opportunities over this holiday season, and we're going to tell you more about those, and I believe God's going to do some incredible things in our church. But I want you to start right now, right where you are in your own life, and I want you to think about how right now you can start to give and be a blessing out of all that God has blessed you with. Lord, right now we are so thankful. We are a thankful people. We know, Lord, that you have done great things in our lives. You have done great things in our church. And Lord, we reject some of the ways that we've been maybe a little unthankful. Maybe some of the attitudes that we've had, Lord, we just set those aside, and we thank you that you are so faithful. Lord, your grace covers us. And Lord, even those times where we've missed sight of what you've given us, Lord, you're so patient. You're so loving. You don't pour out guilt or shame on us. Instead, you invite us in as your firstborns, as your children, Lord. You invite us in, and you invite us into your love. And this morning, I just pray that each one in this place, Lord, would experience your favor and your pleasure. Lord, even that each one of us would go out of this place today with a great joy. Not because we still don't have goals and dreams for our lives, but because we know, Lord, that you are with us, that you are faithful, and that we are truly a blessed people. Give us vision, Lord, and wisdom for how you want us to be a blessing more and more. Strengthen us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise and thank him this morning?
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you would like to share your prayer needs or how this message impacted your life, please go to the Resources tab on our website, inewlife.church. There you can also find out more about the exciting things going on at New Life.